So our reading this morning is from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, and verses 16 to 21. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Hands up if you've made a New Year's resolution. Anyone made a New Year's resolution? At least one person. Okay, maybe we don't like the term New Year's resolution, but does anyone have any plans that they've kind of, maybe not written down, but thought, this year I want to do that? Has anyone got that? Brilliant. That's excellent. They did a survey a while ago, those who were most successful were those who actually planned their future, actually thought about what they wanted to achieve. So New Year's resolutions can be quite good, but I don't want to put down on things. Only about 8% of people achieve their New Year's resolution. Maybe this is because some people set unrealistic goals. I'm going to run 10 miles every day, even though I've never run before. It does happen. And you can easily Google ideas of, you know, how to succeed in your New Year's resolutions. But I think the reason resolutions are so hard is because change is so hard for us people. Humans find change very difficult. Nelson Mandela said this. He said, one of the most difficult things is not to change society, but to change yourself. We can try, but it's hard. It's hard to change ourselves. And what we celebrated today is the most significant change that has happened to Norman. And it's not because of he suddenly got up some energy and decided, right, I'm going to do this. This is because he's encountered Jesus. That's why the change has happened in his life. And our Bible passage that we read, it said, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. Or another translation says, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. A new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. The old has passed away. The new has come. Norman has told us of the change that's happened in his life as he encountered God. As he encountered God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And today we've celebrated he's a new creation. He's no longer a caterpillar, he's a beautiful butterfly. He's raised to new life. The old Norman has gone, and a new life in Jesus. I bet you've never been called a butterfly before. And I'd like to just draw 3 points from the passage. They're all R's as well, which makes it very easy. Relationship. This is what it's about. This is what this new life is about. It's about relationship. We have this phrase, in Christ. If anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. Being in Christ is about being in relationship with him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. God is love, and because of this relationship between Father, Son, and Spirit, if God was just one on his own, He wouldn't be able to have love, would he? He'd just love himself. But God, within the Trinity, there's love going on. And then God created out of this love and gave us opportunity to join in with his love. And it's out of this overflow of love that God created the world. And it's out of that overflow that then he redeemed the world. He gave an opportunity for you and me to enjoy his love. And this love is enjoyed and found in Jesus Christ as he brings us into right relationship with the Father. When I was younger, you may be shocked to hear this, I used to go to nightclubs. I was a regular. Every Thursday night, there was a garage night and a club in Bromley, and I used to go every Thursday. But the thing was, my friend knew one of the DJs. So through this friend, as I walked with my friend, week in, week out, we would walk past the queue, and we would walk in, and we would walk past the place where people pay, and we walked straight in. Through my friend. We didn't pay a penny. And it was through my friend's relationship with the DJ that it was possible to gain access. And Jesus is the Son of God, and it's through his relationship with the Father that we gain access into his presence. It's because of him. It says we come with Jesus that we find access to God the Father. Notice Norman didn't say, I learned to do a load of rules. I learned to tick them off day by day. No, I've not done that. I have done that. I've not done that. And hope one day that I'm good enough. He didn't say that. Norman experienced God's love as he saw it on the cross, as he saw Jesus crucified, as it was shown on a film. And it's Jesus' death that makes the way, it provides access to God the Father. Christianity is not about rules. It's not about regulations. It's not about religion. It's about relationship with God. That's what it's about. You might think, oh, Christians, all you do is follow rules. No, we've got a relationship with God. Secondly, reconciliation. Verse 18, all this is from God who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation has to happen when there's been division between people, when there's been separation between two parties. And the reality of this life is that we are separated from God. We don't live in relationship with him. We choose our own way. As a nation, if we look at our nation, we're starting to create our own moral frameworks. So, you know, as a country, a lot of our laws were based on the Bible, and now things are changing. And let's see what other ideas. We're just slowly rejecting God's way and saying, hey, we can create our own way. We can make our own way. And our division and separation from God is because of sin. We want to live our own way. We don't want God to be God of our lives. We want to be our own God. Hey, it's my right. It's my way. You know, the favorite song at funerals is My Way. I did it my way. I didn't do it God's way. I did it my way. That's how many, many live their lives. And the result of this and the consequences of our sin and rebellion and rejection of our Creator is that we face God's wrath. Now, in our world, we tend to justify our actions. We compare ourselves with others. Hey, I'm not as bad as them. You know, maybe God will accept me because I'm better than that person. Or we blame something. We blame something that's happened to us. But with all of these things, the core issue is that we reject God. We say, hey, it's not your way. I want to do it my way. But our passage says this. This is the good news, okay? That's the bad news. We face his wrath. But the good news is, all this is from God who has reconciled us to himself. He has done it, okay? You don't have to work it up. You don't have to work really hard and do all the good things that you think you should do and maybe the ones that you can't do but you really wish you could do. No, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself. God, the rejected party, makes a way. He steps over that boundary. He steps towards us to make that relationship possible. God in Christ. God was in Christ to reconcile the world to himself. And the good news of reconciliation, he has entrusted to us. Jesus took upon himself the sin of the world so that you could be reconciled to God, so that you could find that right relationship. You might have rebelled. You might know, hey, if I listed the things that I'd run out of fingers, I'd run out of toes, I could use your fingers and your toes as well. Jesus dealt with all of that. Whatever you've done, whatever you feel guilty about, Jesus has dealt with all of that on the cross, and he's made that step towards you and says, hey, I want to be in relationship with you. But in addition to this, God has actually entrusted something to you. So Norman's been reconciled to God, but God has entrusted to him the ministry of reconciliation, that ability to be reconciled to others. And Norman shared how with God's help, he had learned to forgive someone who'd really hurt him. I know how long he lived with that frustration and anger and hurt because of a close friend who hurt him. But as God impacted his life afresh, he found within himself and within God's power in his life that he could forgive, that he could let go, that he could make steps to find reconciliation with an old friend. All this was possible because of what God's done. Over the Christmas period, the BBC did another adaptation of the great novel, Les Miserables. Anyone watch it? A few people? Anyone seen the film? Anyone gone to the stage show? Do you know what I'm talking about? Hopefully. But it's an incredibly powerful story. And one of the most incredible parts of the story is Jean Valjean. He experiences this unmerited grace. He tries to rob the bishop, doesn't he? He tries to take the candlesticks and off he goes. And he's caught. He's brought red-handed to the bishop. And the bishop says, no, I gave him these. He's forgotten to take these bits. And off he goes, absolutely blown away. Totally undeserved. But it's this grace that changes his life and changes his heart. It's as he's experienced this that then the change happens. And it's the same with God, that as we experience God's grace, as we recognize, hey, I brought nothing to this, but God's done it, that actually we're changed as well. And we can go and be agents of grace and reconciliation and forgive others where it wasn't possible before. Eugene O'Neill said this. He said, man is born broken. He lives by mending. The grace of God is glue. It's as that grace of God comes that it creates that ability to mend relationships, to mend broken marriages, to mend everything that's wrong in our lives. Finally, receive. Paul, who wrote this letter, he wrote a letter to a church in Corinth. And he said to them, he said, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He wants to tell the people, hey, you must be reconciled to God. Don't just hear about it. You must be reconciled. You must personally be reconciled to God. It's free gift. It's a free offer for you because Jesus has paid the price on the cross. It says this, for our sake, this is a final verse of our passage, for our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Anyone ever done a part exchange? Good. Anyone looked into it and thought, I'm not doing that. I'm going to give that person more than they're going to give me. Anyone done that? No? No one's done a part exchange? Oh my goodness, I can't believe this. Yes. Did you? And did you get good value for your... Or was it just convenient?
I probably would have got more had I sold it privately, but I had a very good deal and I couldn't be bothered.
That's very honest. A few years ago, I played golf and my driver wasn't working, so I'd hit it and it'd go this way and then it'd go that way and then it'd go up and I was having all sorts of trouble, and I decided it was because my driver wasn't working. I'd given up. I'd take my cart around the course, drag it. The driver would stay in the bag. It would just watch. It would watch how the other clubs worked, and hopefully it would learn. But one day, towards Christmas, I received an email from a golf shop promising me double the value of my old driver if I traded it in for a new one. Oh, yes. So I started to look on the internet, got a bit excited. I was well up for this. So I went to the shop full of anticipation and excitement, and I perused the different drivers and thought about the one that I might have. I was carrying my old one, and the man sort of came up to me, "Oh, can I help you?" I was like, "Yeah, I really want to trade this in for a new driver." The guy looked at it and sort of had a little swing. He was like, "This is a really nice driver." I was like, "Yeah, you've not played with it." So he took it up to the till for valuation. And I excitedly waited as he tapped in the computer. £20. £20? £20? I felt like I was being robbed. You must be joking. The guy very kindly said to me that if I wanted a new driver of a similar quality, it would be very expensive. And then he asked me a few questions and basically recommended that I went to the driving range and practiced. But God offers us an exchange. It's not a rubbish part exchange where we feel that we've given more than we've received. God offers you an exchange for your sins, for your wrongdoing, for the wrath that you face. You have the gift of his righteousness. As a little illustration, if this is you, okay, and God's up here, the problem is your sin has created this barrier between you and God. You can't be overcome. But then Jesus comes along. Sorry, I'm going to run out of hands here, but Jesus, who's righteous, never done anything wrong, said, made him who knew no sin. Jesus had known no sin. You had your sin. And Jesus says, "Hey, I'll take that sin away from you." Where's your... You've got a relationship with God. But the other thing that happens, as you give him your sin, he gives you his righteousness. As we sang, in royal robes, I don't deserve. Jesus gives you that right standing before God, not because of anything you've done, but because of what he's done. And it's amazing. And this is the exciting thing that we're celebrating this morning for Norman, because he's done that. He's given Jesus his sin, and he's experienced that righteousness from God, that right standing. Today is the first Sunday of 2019. And we don't know what this year will hold. We don't know what this will hold for us personally. We don't know whether we'll keep our resolutions or not. But there's one thing for sure. If you turn from your own way of doing things and you turn to Jesus, you will experience new life. You become a new creation. New creation. And you'll experience God's blessing like Norman has. You can enjoy each day in relationship with your Creator, knowing that no barrier exists between you and him. He's removed it. And because of this, you receive the power and ability to forgive others and to live free from the past. All of it is a gift from God. All made possible through him and enjoyed through life in Jesus Christ. Tim Keller, who runs a church in New York, says this: God's salvation does not come in response to a changed life. We didn't get here this morning and say, "Norman, you've really done a good job at changing your life, so now you can be saved by God." No. A changed life comes in response to the salvation offered as a free gift. It's as that free gift of salvation comes that hearts are changed, that desires, unhelpful desires are changed, and you can walk in a way differently from before, as Norman shared. You know, he said, "I've got love for people that I didn't have before. Hey, I was able to forgive that friend that I wasn't able to before." This is what God does. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for sending your son. Lord, we thank you that he has brought salvation. He has made it possible for us to be saved. It's made it possible for our sins to be given totally over to him, and then we can experience that right relationship with you. And Lord, I want to pray this morning, Lord, that by your Spirit, that you would just cement that truth on our heart. Lord, if we've come this morning thinking Christianity is about something that it isn't, I pray, Lord, would you just reprogram our minds? Lord, we want to understand the good news. This is good news. It's good news. And we want to understand that afresh. And Lord, for some of us, maybe we've come this morning, we've been hurt in the past, and we know that we're just struggling to forgive. Lord, I want to pray, would you help us, Lord, to continue to forgive and to walk in that freedom that you've given to us. Lord, we pray these things in your name, for your kingdom and your glory. Lord, we thank you so much for the work you've done in Norman's life, and we pray your blessing on him. We pray, would you bless him so much, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.